Have your Bibles with you this morning, or if not, if you want to grab a Bible from the pew in front of you, I invite you to turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 10. We're reading a little bit of a longer passage today. As often goes, when I'm looking at the different passages for the week and trying to settle on what passages to read, I often go beyond the bounds of what's suggested, because particularly with that psalm that we read earlier, that was one of the ones that was suggested by the lectionary, and they had us cutting out the middle three or four verses of the psalm, and I thought, it's all too beautiful not to read. So we read the entire psalm, and thank you for stepping up and reading that for me on short notice. And so same thing with Matthew. I am going to skip a few verses near the middle, but I went a little bit beyond the bounds of what was recommended to read, just because it's all too good not to read. So I'm going to be reading from Matthew chapter 10, starting in verse 19, and going through to verse 23, and then jumping down to verse 26, and going through to verse 33. So I invite you to follow along with me as I read. I'm reading from the New International Version today. Hear now the word of our Lord. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time you will be given what to say. For it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will betray brother to death, and a child his father. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. You will be hated by everyone because of me, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. When you are persecuted in one place, flee to another. Truly I tell you, you will not finish going through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. So do not be afraid of them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. This is the word of God for the people of God today. I know I read a little bit more than I said I was going to read. I was reading long, and then I realized, wait a minute, what verse am I on? So I finished the current thought that I was on. Well, today as we look at the two passages that we have read this morning, both the Psalm passage and the passage from Matthew, as I was preparing message, I was drawn to one verse in particular from the psalm, from Psalm 98, no, 86, one of those, that was read earlier today. And it is the verse that says this. Let me go to it. For you are great and do marvelous deeds. You alone are God. And further down it says, I will praise you, Lord my God, with all my heart. I will glorify your name forever. We can hear these words of praise. But then the verse that really stood out to me in Psalm 86, going back to verse 8, among the gods there is none like you. No deeds can compare with yours. All the nations you have made will come and worship before the Lord. You know, as we look at that verse in our 21st century Christian ears, it sounds strange for a worshiper of the one true God to reference other gods. You know, he says, among the gods there are none like you. In other places in the Psalms, we hear that you are above all the other gods. And of course, as Christians, we know there is only one God. And it seems strange for us to hear a follower of the one true God, a follower of the Lord, talking about the other gods, the pagan gods, the gods who we know do not exist. But it comes down to the question of what exactly is a God, a lowercase g God? Well, I'm sure if you were to look it up in the dictionary, Webster's or one of the other mainstream dictionaries would simply define a God either as a divine being that is worshipped, or really anything that is worshipped to the point of divine status. That may be a simplification of that definition, but if you think about it, although there is only one true God with a capital G, there are many things in this world that people worship. And when we look back at the Old Testament, we see references about the various gods, lowercase g. We see the many things that people worship, both things of the earth and things that they made with their very own hands. I will say one of the benefits of being in seminary is I get to hear a lot of history behind some of the writings of Scripture. And in talking about some of the foreign gods, I learned that there was this ancient practice in pagan cultures whenever they would make an idol. They would fashion the idol out of whatever material it was. They would make it out of wood, stone, gold, silver, bronze, whatever. Then they would take the idol and they would put it in a sacred garden overnight. And everyone would leave the garden, they'd go home, and the next day they'd come and they'd say, "Oh, look, a god has appeared to us. Here is our god, let us worship it." And oftentimes, the craftsman who made the god would either be killed, or if they didn't want to kill him, they'd remove his hands so they could say, "No human hands made this. No one with hands made this." And they would pretend that that thing that they had made out of their hands was a god from the heavens that magically appeared in that garden overnight. Never mind the fact that they had put it there night before. Now, to our ears, this sounds as ridiculous as it is. We can see the complete ridiculousness of making something, putting it in a garden overnight, and pretending that it magically appeared as a god. I think we can all agree that that is foolish. Am I right? However, when you think about it, when you think about what it means to deify something, to worship it to the point that it takes priority in your life, we do similar things with other things in our lives. For us, it may not be a physical idol, but there are many things which we, as people, worship above all else. There are things that we hold dear, things that we hold sacred, traditions that, and rituals that we follow, which can make something that once was good be like a God to us. We have to ask ourselves, who is it that I am truly worshiping? You see, in this modern day and age, we don't have temples and shrines to idols made of gold and wood and stone and bronze, but we do have temples of a sort to all kinds of things that we worship as a god. I'm not going to stand up here before you today and list off all of the stereotypical cliche false gods that we as people in America worship. You've heard lots of pastors go through those lists, and some of them you may roll your eyes, some of them you may say, yeah, I know some people that worship that a bit too much, and some of you may be like, well, yeah, but I'm still going to turn on the TV this afternoon to watch my favorite team. I'm not going to presume today what it is that you are tempted to put above God and to put above all else. I simply want you to think about what it means to truly be a follower of the one true God. When we get to the New Testament passage, this is not a very uplifting passage of Jesus' teachings. Here in Matthew chapter 10, we see Jesus saying things along the lines of, I did not come to make peace, but to bring war. Fathers will turn against their sons, sons against their fathers. Mothers and daughters will fight with each other, which, you know, some would say that happens anyway. We have a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, which are half of the mother-in-law and daughter-in-law relationships in our culture today. But we see other things such as you will be arrested. You will be abused. You will be hated. People will betray you. And it doesn't matter how much you flee, you won't run out of towns to run to. Because everywhere you go, those who hate you because of me will chase you. Now that's an uplifting passage, right? You know, that's what we want to hear on our feel-good morning devotion, or, you know, as words of comfort in the hospital or at a graveside. You know, these are real comforting words, right? Thank you, Jesus, for such a uplifting message that people will hate us and beat us and abuse us. End of story, right? Y'all want to go home now? Jesus did not pull many punches in passages like this. And we can look throughout Christian history and we can see the times in which these words came absolutely true. One only has to look at the history of Christianity in Rome and you see the very persecution that Jesus was talking about right here. And some of that persecution, a lot of that persecution, came because they made statements like the psalmist David did that said, among all the gods there are none like you, O Lord. They had the audacity to go before the Greeks and the Romans and the Celts and the Germans and the Persians, and say, all of these gods that you made with your hands and then put in the sacred garden overnight to pretend that they just magically appeared are false. None of them can compare to the one true God, the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, who sent his son to die on the abominable cross so that you might live forever. That message got Paul and Barnabas stoned? They survived, but they didn't know that. The people that stoned them didn't know that they had survived. It got all of the apostles but one martyred. The one that wasn't martyred went through some pretty severe tortures that I will not give you nightmares by describing to you today. That message that there is none like our God is one which led Christians to the Colosseum to be killed and to the crosses to be crucified, to dungeons and torture chambers for centuries. But then, praise be to God, something miraculous happened. A Roman emperor got a vision from the Lord. And although Christian persecution was not stopped altogether at that point, I think we can all agree that the severity of persecution in the majority of the world decreased after that point in time. And when we get all the way to the 21st century, especially 21st century America, this description that Jesus gives to us of brother betraying brother to death, father his child, you know, children rebelling against their parents, although that happens, of being chased and persecuted and killed and hated on behalf of the gospel, this doesn't seem all that relevant to us in our 21st century modern American world, does it? And I thank God for the fact that we here in America have been blessed to not have to deal with the extreme persecution that we have seen throughout Christian history and that we do still see in some parts of the world today. It's something that we read about. It's something that we pray for those who are experiencing it. But yet, we don't really have to be too afraid about anybody knocking down our door and arresting us and beating us and killing us because of our faith. And so because of that, we say, we'll preach our message. We can just get along with everyone. You know, you don't believe quite the same as I believe, but that's okay. And we tend to downplay our differences with those around us because, after all, they're being nice to us. We ought to be nice to them. My brothers and sisters, the question that I want to pose to you today is, what will happen when that's not the case for us? For years, pastors have been telling their parishioners to prepare for the day sometime way off in the future when persecution might return to the church in America, in which we will have to take a stand. But I would make an argument that it has already begun. All you have to do is look at recent history. Look at the events of the last few years, and you can see that tolerance for differing beliefs is becoming less and less in our world and in our culture. We seem to have forgotten what it means to agree to disagree because in the culture that we live in, there's become a lot more of my way or the highway. I'm right, you're wrong. Either accept my position or I'm going to silence you forever. And all sides of the debate are guilty of this. I'm not pointing fingers at any one group right now. We see it in the church. We see it in politics. We see it on YouTube, for pity's sake. If you don't believe exactly what I believe, then you're an apostate heretic who must burn. Those aren't the exact words that they use, but that's the sentiment. And right now, thanks be to God, we are protected by rights and freedoms that it doesn't matter how much people dislike us, we can still come here every Sunday morning and worship and praise God. But my brothers and sisters, the day may come when we don't have that complete freedom. The day may come when people will tell us that we cannot share the gospel because it is against the law. And already in places not that far away, pastors are being arrested for simply preaching the word of God because it goes against the public agenda. Not in our country, but in a country very close to ours, simply reading a verse from the scriptures and saying, I agree with that, has been grounds for the arrest of at least one pastor that I know of. Things that we think should be taking place a long way away from here are happening rather close to home. And although no law has yet been passed in the U.S. that I know of that would lead to an honest preacher being arrested for simply preaching the Word of God, there are those who are already proposing those very laws here in this country. And one day we may have to ask ourselves, will I stand before God and everybody else and say, I am a Christian. This is my God. This is what I believe. Regardless of the consequences. Jesus says, whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. Brothers and sisters, I pray that I'm wrong. I pray that this seemingly inevitable future is still generations away. But when the time comes, if it happens to be during our lifetime, and we are faced with the challenge of standing for Jesus or standing with the culture, I wonder, will you have the boldness to proclaim in the words of the psalmist, among the gods there is none like you, Lord. No deeds can compare with yours. All the nations you have made will come and worship before you, Lord. They will bring glory to your name. For you are great and do marvelous deeds. You alone are God. Notice he doesn't say, you alone are my God. He says, you alone are God. You see the difference there? Brothers and sisters, we serve a great God. He is a loving God, who, as we talked about last week, is a good father that is willing to discipline his children if he has to. But his love and his mercies know no end. And as long as we continue to stand firm in our belief, stand firm in our faith, and declare God publicly, then he will uphold us. And he will not deny us. And if the day comes, which I pray it doesn't in our lifetimes, or even in our children's lifetimes, but if the day comes when our lives are threatened because of our faith, know that no matter what they do to us here, our God is waiting for us. They may kill our bodies, but they cannot kill our soul. Because Christ bought our souls with his blood. And heaven is waiting for all those who call upon the name of the Lord. Amen.